السلام علیکم ورحمت اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمدللہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام علی سیدن المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. واتل علیہم نبأ ابراہیم اذ قال لأبیه وقومه ما تعبدون قالوا نعبد اصناما فنزل لها عاکفین قال هل يسمعونكم إذ تدعون أو ينفعونكم أو يضرون قالوا بل وجدنا آباءنا كذلك يفعلون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also sisters listening over the receivers and at the madrasa, it just came to mind that we are in the month of Zilqada now, and we know that the days of Hajj, the months of Hajj, they all remind us of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his family. The moment the days of Hajj come, a person cannot but help thinking of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the trials that he went through, his advices, his nasihat to his father, to his family, to his people, the oppression that he had to endure, the suffering that he had to go through, the difficulties and the trials and the hardships that he had to face, and his standing in the midst of all these storms, steadfast on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's teachings, Allah Ta'ala's oneness, his commitment. So this is something that comes to mind. Now, I have discussed, I think, in the Jummah Bayan also some time back, and also in some majlis, about Qalb-e Salim. But these ayat which I am now going to discuss, they are the verses which are before that verse in which Qalb-e Salim is discussed. And I've given you the five tafsirs of Qalb-e Salim, etc. But let us just look at this beautiful passage of the Holy Quran Sharif. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, and rehearse to them. In other words, relate to them, tell them the story of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam is addressing whom? The kuffar, the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarrama, those who claim that they are on the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. They said that we are on the millat, on the religion, on the deen of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam holds that unique distinction that everybody accepts him as the guide, although they may have distorted his teachings and they may have rejected his teachings, but in reality, whether it is the mushrikeen, whether it is the Yahud, whether it is the Nasara, and we the believers in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all accept Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam as a major Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as our forefather. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam to tell these people who say that they are following the traditions of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, that they are worshipping as Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam worshipped, that they are following his way of life, that they are on his deen. So tell them about the story of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. When he, that is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, told to his father and his people that whom do you worship, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he told his father and his people that whom are you worshipping? What are you worshipping? In another surah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala discusses in Surah Maryam, واذكر في الكتاب إبراهيم إنه كان صديقا نبيا إذ قال لأبيه يا أبت لم تعبد ما لا يسمع ولا يبصر ولا يغني عنك شيئا يا أبت إني قد جاءني من العلم ما لم يأتك فاتبعني أهدك صراطا سويا يا أبت لا تعبد الشيطان إن الشيطان كان للرحمن عصيا يا أبت إني أخاف أن يمسك عذاب من الرحمن فتكون للشيطان وليا.
So beautifully as Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam tells his father, the gist of which is that, oh my beloved father, oh my dear father, why do you worship something that neither sees you, neither hears you, something that cannot hear you, cannot see you, and cannot avail you of anything, cannot help you in any way, cannot solve your problems, cannot be of any assistance to you? Then why do you worship? And then he tells his father that I have been given that knowledge which you have not been given. So the right thing for any person to do who does not have the knowledge is to obey and follow the person who has the knowledge. So if that knowledge of Tawheed and other things has not been given to you, it has been given to me, so therefore it is your duty now to obey me, to follow me. I'm just giving an explanation. It is your duty now to follow me. Then I will guide you on Sirat-e-Mustaqim, onto the straight path I will take you. And then he says, oh my dear father, don't worship shaitan. Now we know that nobody worships shaitan. You don't get anybody in any religion that is worshipping shaitan. Of course, now we get Satanism also, people worship shaitan too. But worshipping shaitan means following the dictates of shaitan, following the whisperings of shaitan. So he says, don't do that. Why? Because shaitan is a rebel. He rejected Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's command to bow down before Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he was told that, why are you not bowing down? He says, khalaqatani min nar wa khalaqtahu min tween. You created me out of fire and you created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam out of dust. So the flames of fire, they rise high and dust is trampled upon. So Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam should be making sajda to me. That's what he tried to say. So Allah Ta'ala rejected him. He became shaitan rajim. So he says, don't worship that shaitan. Don't follow that shaitan. Don't obey that shaitan. And then he beautifully says that inni akhafu an yamassaka azabum minar rahman. I fear azab coming to you from Rahman, the most gracious one. He will send azab. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is Rahman. But if you are going to make shirk, then I fear that although he is Rahman, but you will get azab from Rahman. So in those verses, other things have been mentioned there. But here, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala relates and says that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked his people that, what are you worshipping? Whom are you worshipping? Is qala li abihi ma وَقَوْمِهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. So they were quite frank and quite open, and they had no hesitation in saying that we worship the idols. They had no hesitation in saying that they are worshipping the idols. Those idols which they made with their own hands, they were worshipping them. So they said, قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ أَصْنَامًا فَنَزَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ. That we are worshipping the idols, these gods which we have made with our own hands, we are worshipping. And we are in constant attendance also over them. We stay sitting by their side for long periods of time. and we sit by them as one would sit in front of his God, in front of his Lord, that respect, that honor, that dignity, that azmat, that muhabbat that a person has for his Rabb and for his Allah. So that is exactly how we sit on this, by the side of these idols, because they believe that they are the gods. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam puts a question to them. قَالَ هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِذْ تَدْعُونَ. He said that these idols, these gods of yours, do they listen to you when you call out to them? He says, if you call out to them that, oh my Lord, oh my Rabb, oh my Allah, do they answer you? Do they listen to you? Do they respond to your call? أَوْ يَنْفَعُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَزُرُّونَ. Or do they benefit you in any way, or they harm you in any way? And if you have to sit by them and call out to them in your distress, in your problems, in your difficulties, then they can they benefit you in any way? And if you have made them angry, can they harm you in any way? So any person with the least bit of intelligence will understand that neither can they harm, nor can they see, nor can they benefit in any way. This is why I always say that we should not just trust our intelligence. Our intelligence is not sufficient for hidayat. For a person to obey Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and to be on guidance, just intelligence is not sufficient. Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not consider those people as intelligent who have not recognized Him. The world calls them intelligent people. Any person that reaches the level of being a prime minister or a president of a country, or reaches the status of a cabinet minister, or he becomes a tycoon because he's got plenty of wealth, or he is a very shrewd businessman, or he's got other qualifications and degrees, then we say he's a very intelligent person. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not consider them as Ulul Albab. So that person who does not recognize the Creator, that person who doesn't recognize the one who blessed him with that intelligence, then what kind of intelligence is that? The person who does not recognize his benefactor, the person who doesn't recognize the one who has blessed him with all those bounties, then what kind of an intelligence is that? This is why we find in history and throughout history, that people who were called people of great intelligence by the world, but they were folding their hands before idols, or they believed in Trinity, or they believed in so many other isms and so many other ideologies, or they rejected belief altogether in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They turned atheists. So many great scientists are nothing but atheists. The more discoveries they make, the more mysteries they unravel, the more the rejection of Allah Ta'ala. And now that they have come to the stage where cloning is the in thing, and they are about to make the breakthrough when they are going to clone human being, or some claim that they have already reached that stage, so there will be more rejection of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now they will say that we can even create life, and we can even transfer the characteristics. So you can see how much of tests are coming upon the Ummah. How many people with weak iman will be carried away by all these Dajjali tricks? Dajjal will come whenever he will come, but the small Dajjals are already performing their acts, and people are falling hook, line and sinker in their nets. So even in the present day, presidents of countries, cabinet ministers, people in very high positions in society, people who are in government and in other business corporations and companies, and they have a chain of degrees and qualifications, but when it comes to to believing in Allah Ta'ala, they do not have that much intelligence. With all their intelligence, they are still bowing down before those same idols, or they are rejecting Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala altogether. Morarji was the Prime Minister of India, and he went on TV in England and he stated quite clearly and boldly that he drinks his own urine because it is the water of life. Now this is the intelligence. Is that intelligence now? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is his ihsan upon us that he didn't leave it to us to go and search for Islam and for Iman. If only Allah Ta'ala left it to us, as so many others, then we do not know in which church we too would have been ringing bells, or in which temple we would have been folding our hands, or where we would have been, in which gutter line. Only Allah Ta'ala knows. We don't appreciate this great ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has given us of Iman, because we didn't have to make any effort for it. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that, do they listen to you? Do they benefit you? Do they cause you any harm? Now what answer can they have? If they say yes, it benefits, then say, well, show it to us. There's your idol that you have made of stone. Now let us see how it can benefit you. You call out to your idol and see if it hears you. If a pigeon has to come and sit on its head, or if a dog has to raise one leg and urinate there, it can't even chase it away. So any person with the least bit of intelligence will know that neither can they benefit nor can they harm. So he says, if they cannot do that, then why are you worshipping them? So what was their reply? قَالُوا بَلْ وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا كَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. The reply was, we found our fathers doing thus. Our fathers were worshipping like this, so therefore we followed in their footsteps and we are doing the same thing. So they are admitting that their worship is not based on intelligence or proper understanding. It is merely what we term as blind following of the forefathers. That the fathers were doing this, the fathers were worshipping these idols, so therefore we too are doing the same thing. Because they can't answer that question, can they help you, can they benefit you, can they harm you?
قال أفرأيتم ما كنتم تعبدون أنتم وآباؤكم الأقدمون فإنهم عدو لي إلا رب العالمين.
So if that is the case, that you are merely worshipping because you saw your forefathers doing so, you are bowing down before these idols and you are sitting at their side and you are considering them to be your Rabb and your Lord. So, if you are doing this just because you saw your fathers doing it, you didn't exercise your own discretion, you didn't use your intelligence, you didn't find out the truth, you did not try to establish what is haq, you merely followed blindly. So if that is the case, so Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, that do you then not see whom you are worshipping? And also, besides you, even your forefathers or your fathers, forefathers before you, whom they have been worshipping, do you not see what kind of a God they were worshipping, what kind of a Lord they were worshipping, and you are worshipping? He says, for they are my enemies. It says that they are my enemies. Why they are my enemies? Because they mislead, they misdirect, they misguide, they lead astray, they take me to Jahannam if I have to obey them. They will take me to destruction. Therefore they are my enemies. They are the enemies of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So therefore they are also my enemies. So then who is my friend? If they are my enemies, then I must have some friend also. So he says, my friend is Allah Rabbul Alameen. I'm just giving an explanation. That my friend, my companion is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he left for Madian, and he was a musafir, he was a stranger, he was heartbroken, he had been through a very difficult time, and he had been rejected, and he had to run. Now in that state of helplessness, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, Anal Ghareeb wa Anal Mareez wa Anal Faqeer. He said, oh Allah, I am a total stranger, I am a musafir. And he said that I am sick, and also I am poverty stricken, I am starving, got no food. So I've got no companion, I am sick also, and I've got nothing to eat also. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent wahi to him. Al-Ghareeb Al-Lazi Laysa Lahu Misli Habib. Said, oh my beloved Musa, who is a musafir? Who is a stranger? Who is the one that has got no friend? Is it the person who does not have me as his friend? He does not have me as his companion. He does not have me as his Habib, as his beloved. Then he is a musafir. Then he is a stranger. But you, O Musa, I am with you all the time. These are trials, these are tests. But I am with you. So why should you consider yourself to be a stranger? And who is Mariz? Al-Mariz Al-Lazi Laysa Lahu Misli Tabib. Sick is that person who does not have a Tabib, a specialist like me, a Hakim like me, a physician like me. Then that person can say that I am Mariz. And why are you calling yourself Faqir when I am your Wakil? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the provider, so he will provide from sources unknown and strange sources. After that, what happens in the history of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is a long story. But the thing is that here also, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he's teaching us a lesson. That he says that they are my enemies. Illa Rabbal Alameen. Except the sustainer of the worlds. My Rabb, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He is my friend. He is my companion. And then immediately he says, Allazi khalaqani fahuwa yahdeen. He who created me, and then it is he who guides me. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who created me. And it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the sustainer of the worlds, the cherisher of the worlds, the nourisher, who guides me also. And he is Rabbul Alameen also. Rabb of all the worlds. Whatever world we can think of, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the sustainer. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. He is the one who gives me food and drink. Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives me food and drink. Allah Ta'ala is the one who created me. Allah Ta'ala is the one who guides me. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And when I fall sick, when I fall ill, then it is my Allah, that Rabbul Alameen, who gives me cure from my ailment, from my sickness, from my disease. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ. He is the one who will cause death to come upon me. And then he is the one who is going to give me life again. So as Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says that if you want to worship, if you want to bow down your head, if you want to extend your hands in prayer, if you want to seek help, and if you want protection from all kinds of evil and from mischief, then you should be worshipping none but Allah, who is Rabbul Alameen. These are the sifats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. These are the attributes of that Allah, some of them. There are many others, these are some of them. But he says that this Allah that I am worshipping, these are his attributes, these are his qualities. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is the creator. He is the one who is guiding me. He is the one who is giving me to eat and to drink. And I've mentioned this many times, that anything that you analyze, the end result or the conclusion will be that it is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Any gift and any bounty we take across the board, and I've mentioned this many times, that anything that you take, if a person says that it was due to my hard work, it was due to my sweat and labor, then the first question after that who gave you that himmat, who gave you that strength, who gave you that intelligence, who gave you your heart, liver and lung all working, who caused your kidney to function properly, who caused your hands and your feet to move properly, so that you may put in that effort and that hard work. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala just takes away that intelligence, then the person ends up in a madhouse. Nobody will trust that person for a single coin. You won't make him a cashier in any business. The person will say, look, that man is mad, be careful. So who is it? So if the person says that it is due to my hard work and effort and labor, then who is it that gave him that energy in his body? Who gave him that strength? Who gave him that intelligence? Who gave him that sight with which he saw, that hearing, that speech, all the faculties that he used? So conclusion, Allah. And the second way is, if the person says that, look, I received it as a gift. So if a person receives it as a gift, then who is it that blessed the donor of that gift? Who gave him that? Where did it come to him from? Again, the same conclusion, Allah Ta'ala. And if the person says, I inherited it, my father was owning all this fortune and I inherited it, so who caused you to be born in that family where you became an heir of that massive estate? If you had been born to some poor woman in some shack, would you have inherited all that? So did you have a choice? Did you plan that I wish to be born in a certain family who owns a fortune, who has gold mine and who has oil wells, and I wish to inherit from them? Again, conclusion, no one but Allah. So it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who gives us, as Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, which you have heard many times, but whatever comes by way of example, I will repeat, if it lights up our iman and if it strengthens our iman. When he used to eat, once he was eating and there was dal, and he said, Hakim Akhtar, is dal mein mujhe biryani ka maza aa raha hai. He said, Hazrat, kyun? Why are you getting that enjoyment of biryani in this dal? He says, because my Allah is feeding me. He says, what do you mean by that, your Allah is feeding? He says, this hand which I put into the dal, and I pick it up and I put the morsel into my mouth, who is it that is giving me that strength? Or who is it that has given that strength in that hand? So I picture my Allah's hand behind my hand feeding me in my mouth. So when the beloved feeds someone, don't you get enjoyment in it? So he said, that is why I'm getting that enjoyment in it. So I always say that he said that he is getting the enjoyment of biryani in dal. But these days we don't even get the enjoyment of dal in biryani, because of our worries and our problems and our restlessness and our anxieties and our sins. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has taken the enjoyment out. That happiness is no more there. That enjoyment is not there. So here Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, this is what he says. He says that my creator is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is he who has created me. Allazi khalaqani fahuwa yahdeen. He created me, so he guides me. It is he who is guiding me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُونِي وَيَسْقِينَ. And he is the one who is feeding me. He is the one who is giving me food. And he is the one who is giving me drink. He gives me food to eat. He gives me drink. And when I am sick, when I am ailing, when I have got a weakness, then it is He who gives me cure. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. Cure is only in the hands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Two people eat the same food. One person, after eating, he passes his hand over his stomach and he burps loudly and he says, Alhamdulillah, MashaAllah, how enjoyable and tasty. And he says, I've put on another 1 kg today after eating at the Walima. And the other person, he eats that same food and he says, rush me to the hospital now. Why? Because sugar went very high. It was very enjoyable, but now the sugar went very high because the biryani and the mitais the person was eating for no more, because it was free of charge. But now he says, take me away to the hospital. So one person, it gave him health, and the other person, it gave him sickness. So now who is it that will cure that person of that illness? So the person will say that the medicine cured me. Now again, if you look at the medication, that's two people take medication. One person takes that medication and he gets cured. And the other person takes the same medication and he becomes a candidate for the nearest graveyard. Dua aur dawa mein asar hai zarur. Dua aur dawa mein asar hai zarur. Marizo ki shifa lekin daste khuda mein hai. In dua also there is effect, and in dawa also there is effect. But the cure of the patient is in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We have to have that yaqeen and that trust that the cure is in the hands of Allah ta'ala. Therefore, together with the dawa, we have to also make dua and trust in Allah ta'ala and ask Him for cure for that illness. Then if Allah ta'ala wills, the person will get cure. And if Allah ta'ala does not will, because He is sending it to him as a test or a trial, or Allah ta'ala wants to give him some other great rewards which have been promised on sickness and on illness, then Allah ta'ala will give him sabr over that sickness. He will take the medication and he has to take it, but he will get sabr also on it. He will not be like very restless and complaining of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Again, that beautiful example of that great wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala of not very long ago, which I have mentioned in my majlises, that he was given that tablet because water was filling up in his lungs, and he was given the tablet to drain out the water. So he had to go to the toilet quite a few times at night. So his khadim, he said, Hazrat, last night you spent a very restless night, up and down. So he said, no, Alhamdulillah. He said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ke fazl o karam se sunnat ke mutabik duae pad kar ke dakhle ki taufiq hui, aur sunnat ke mutabik nikalne ki taufiq hui, aur sunnat ke mutabik phir dua padne ki taufiq hui. To itni dafa sunnat par amal hua, so isme kya takleef. Now will that person ever complain of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So in that kind of sickness, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then gives them also peace and sukoon. Hazrat Maulana Azhar sahab rahmatullah alayh, the ustad of Hazrat Mufti Shafi sahab rahmatullah alayh, he was very sick. He had very high temperature. Hazrat Mufti Shafi sahab rahmatullah alayh went to see him, visit him. He said, Hazrat, how are you feeling? He said, Alhamdulillah, my eyes are seeing right, my ears are listening right, my tongue is speaking, my hands and feet are moving, but I've got a bit of temperature. First he concentrated on all those ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has still blessed him with, and said, together with that, it's a reality, it's a haqiqat. So it's not that you have to hide it. So he said that, I also got sickness, I've got temperature, so that the person will make dua for him, or he will give him some medication. So there's nothing wrong in that, in saying, I've got pain in my leg, and I've got pain in my head, I've got pain in my stomach. If the person wants some dua or he wants some medication, but they don't become restless and complain of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yes, due to pain sometimes they make ah and ooh and scream and shout, but still in their hearts they've got that satisfaction that it is from my Allah, and Allah ta'ala knows what is best for me. So here Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam also, he is putting this across very, very strongly to these people who are worshipping those idols, that those idols which you are worshipping, they neither hear you, they neither see you, they cannot help you in any way, they cannot harm you in any way, they cannot benefit you in any way. So then what is the sense of bowing down before them? Why don't you worship that Allah that I am worshipping, who is my companion, who is the guide? He is the one who gives me food and drink. He is the one who gives me health. He is the one who gives me cure from my ailment and illness. He is the one who blesses me with all these different bounties. So he is the one that you should be worshipping.
وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ.
And he is the one, when the time will come, he will cause death to come upon me. That means these idols that you are worshipping, they can't even cause any death to come upon you, and neither can they give you life. But that Allah who is Rabbul Alameen, when the time will come, then he will cause death to come upon me. And he is the one who will give me life again, resurrection. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept a sign of that in the trees and in the leaves of the trees and in the flowers. Come winter and so many trees, they become completely barren. There's no leaves left on those trees. It is dry. And in some places, if you have to look at that forest, it looks like only ghosts there. All dry, nothing there. And then Allah Ta'ala sends down one rain, and suddenly everything is blooming. Everything is green. So if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can give death and again life in front of our very eyes, and also Allah Ta'ala, we are seeing every day how he is giving life from the egg. The dead egg comes out the life chick, and from there again you get the dead egg. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is showing the signs all the time. So if Allah Ta'ala is showing so many different signs, then why is the doubt that how is Allah Ta'ala going to resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah? So that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that he is that Allah who has given me life, and he is the one, when the time will come, then he will give me death, and again he will resurrect me. So you should be worshipping an Allah, you should be worshipping that creator, you should be bowing down before him who is giving you to eat, to get to drink, and the one who is giving you life, and the one who will cause death to come upon you, and the one who is guiding you, and the one who is sustaining you. He is the one that you should be worshipping. Now when he told this to his father, then what did his father say? That are you turning away from our gods? I will stone you. I will do this to you and I will do that to you. All kinds of threats. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, and that Allah, another sifat of his is that he is very merciful and very forgiving.
وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ.
And who is that Allah? It is he in whom I have great hope that he will forgive my shortcomings on the day of judgment. Now here is a Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There's absolutely no shortcoming. There's absolutely no weakness. There's absolutely no sin. But he says that Allah, I have got such hopes in that Allah of mine, that Rabbul Alameen, that sustainer of the worlds. He is so loving, he is so merciful, he is so forgiving, he is so compassionate, he is so kind, is so generous, that I have great hopes that he will forgive my shortcomings on the day of judgment. Why? Because I am worshipping him, I am obeying him, I am trying, I am doing all that which he has ordered me to do. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was not disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So first we have to be obedient to Allah ta'ala, and then we can have hope. The person who is persistent in his sins and he says, I've got great hope in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy, then he is fooling himself. Because when we say Allah Ta'ala is Razzaq, Allah Ta'ala is the one who provides sustenance, Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives rizq, then we haven't found anybody say that because Allah Ta'ala is Razzaq, so what is the need for me to go to my profession? What is the need for me to go to my business? What is the need for me to go to the farm? Or what is the need for me to go into any other field of work and activity? Because Allah Ta'ala is Razzaq, so therefore let me remain within my home and keep the business closed, keep the profession doors closed, and keep the farm unattended. You don't have to plow the land, you don't have to plant the seeds, you don't have to water the crops, you don't have to do anything. Allah Ta'ala is Razzaq, so I will remain in my house watching television and all my risk will come away here. Nobody says that. Everybody believes Allah Ta'ala is Razzaq, but you have to become like the pigeons, and you have to come be like the birds, and you have to come like the other creatures and insects and animals who set out searching for the risk. Then Allah Ta'ala provides. Allah Ta'ala will provide. But that bird has to leave its nest and go out. It is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala that He can provide it in that nest also. There was one snake that was dead, or it was on the ground. It had been injured and it was unable to move. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created the means that one crow was bringing something to put into the mouth of that snake. The crow goes and brings something and puts it into the mouth of that snake. The snake was sitting with his mouth open. So somebody saw that and said that, what a beautiful thing. See this snake, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if He can provide in this manner for the snake, that this crow is going, bringing and some putting into the mouth of the snake. So then, or this bird is going and bringing something and putting into the mouth of the snake, so that the snake can survive. So if Allah Ta'ala is providing in this manner for the snake, then why should I go and work? So he went away home and closed his door. Then one Allah Wala was told that this is what this person said. So he knocked at his door and he said, what has happened? He said, no, I saw that snake and this is what I saw. So if Allah Ta'ala can provide in that manner, then why must I go and work? So he said, then why don't you become the bird? Why do you want to become the snake? He said, Allah Ta'ala is providing for the snake in that manner, but why must you become the snake? You should become the bird. You should go and look for the food and bring and give to those that can't afford and can't work and are handicapped. So nevertheless, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the provider. But the person doesn't say that because Allah Ta'ala is the provider, now he doesn't go to his business or profession. So in the same way, Allah Ta'ala is Ghaffar. There is no doubt about it. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned many places in the Quran Sharif that He is Ghafoor Rahim and He is Ghaffar. But just because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is Ghaffar, then why do we say that because He is Ghaffar, so what does it matter if we are persistent in our sins? Because He is Ghaffar, so we will keep committing sins, He will keep forgiving. That is not the understanding of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala as being Ghaffar. The person accidentally commits a sin. He does not want to commit a sin. He doesn't want to go towards haram. He doesn't want to go to evil. He doesn't want to go to the vice dens. He doesn't want to go to the casinos and the discos and cinemas and theatres. He doesn't want to commit adultery and fornication. He doesn't want to commit any sin. But nafs and shaitan overpowered him, and at that moment the person completely forgot that he's a haji sahab, or he's a hafiz sahab, or he's a qari sahab, or he is a person in the first saf of the masjid, or he is a person who is in dini activities, or that person forgot that he is a Muslim also, and he fell for the trap. But immediately he realizes that I made a mistake. I should not have committed this sin. I should not have been rebellious. I should not have been disobedient to my Allah. He is the one who has blessed me with all these faculties and all the ni'mats. How can I be disobedient to Him? So the person makes plenty of tawbah and istighfar because he believes that Allah Ta'ala is Ghaffar. Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim. So his car has met with an accident and there are lots of dents now in that car. So he is making the effort to remove those dents by means of tawbah and istighfar. That is understandable. But not persistence because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is Ghaffar. So here also Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. that Allah is He in whom I have great hope that He will overlook, He will forgive my shortcomings. As Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, as I said, but there was no question of him committing any open sin or any kind of the transgression or the sins that we commit. But he says, I've got this great hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he left behind a lesson for us that we too, we try our best to be obedient to Allah ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then have this hope that inshallah on the day of judgment, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will overlook our shortcomings, our faults, our weakness. We will continue with these verses because, as I said, that it is the months of Hajj, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his family, we cannot help but remembering in these Mubarak days. So therefore today I discussed these ayats of the Quran Sharif in which Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam talks to his people, talks to his father, talks to his family, that why are you worshipping those idols which neither see you nor help you, nor they benefit you in any way, nor can they harm you in any way. You should be worshipping him who is the creator, the one who is the sustainer, the one who gives you life, the one who gives you food and drink, the one who gives you clothes to wear, the one who provides you with shelter, the one who gives you all the different bounties, provides you with oxygen and with everything that you require for your survival. So he is the one that you should be worshipping. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless us also with that kind of iman and yaqeen. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must put into our hearts so much of his love, so much of his muhabbat, and so much of the muhabbat and love of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so much of his recognition that between us and sin comes a big barrier. That the moment we get tempted towards sin, immediately we recognize that our Allah is watching, our Allah is hearing, our Allah is knowing, and all the ni'mats that we have are in his control, and he who has blessed us with it, he can pull the carpet from beneath our feet also if we are going to transgress and willfully disobey him and be persistent in our sins. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the ummah all over the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. May Allah hamare gunahon ko maaf farma. Hamare gunahon ko maaf farma. Oh Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Oh Allah, forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, bless us with long life, with good health, with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with satisfaction. Bless us with your yaqeen, with your marifat, with your muhabbat, with tawakkul in you, with trust in you, with faith in you. Bless us with your closeness, the closeness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirah. Remove the difficulties, trials, problems, tests of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Assist and help them, O Allah. Assist and help the Mujahideen of Islam, just as you assisted and helped the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu majma'een. Allah, when the time of our departure comes from this world, then take us away with Iman. Let our death be in Madina Tayyiba. Let our burial be in Jannatul Baqi. But if it is not Muqaddar in Madina Tayyiba, wherever it may be, let it be a death of Barkat. Don't let the angel of death visit us in any kind of sinful action. Don't let the angel of death find us in a cinema, in a disco, in a theater, in a casino, or watching some filthy porn film, or some porn site on the internet, or taking drugs, or with a bottle of wine in our hands, or in adultery or fornication, or in any sin, major or minor. Allah, accept our du'as with the sadqa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for the ummah, bless us with that goodness. Bless our wives and children with that goodness. Bless the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, Oh Allah, protect the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who have gone for Hajj, oh Allah, make their Hajj maqbool and mabroor. Oh Allah, make it easy for them. Remove the obstacles in their path. Oh my Allah, give them the tawfiq to respect and honor the Mubarak land and the Mubarak places, and accept the du'as which they make, oh Allah, in that Mubarak places. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيعِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَبَّ